and they'll be back. I don't think they'll be back Sunday. They won't be back till Monday. So we still come together and receive something good here at church. Just thinking about the song that we were singing, said, teach me, Lord, to wait while others are afraid. What's the next line? While hearts are afraid. Yeah, here we go. No, that's the course. There we go. Next verse. There we go. Help me humble my pride and call on your name. Keep my faith renewed, my eyes on you. I think it's supposed to be the, so it might rhyme with be. But have me be on this earth what you want me to be. I was thinking about while hearts are afraid, teach me, Lord, to wait. You know, in the business I'm in, you get to hear a lot of profound quotes. And this time, every 4 years, people are always fearful. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen this election. And one group will say, if this happens, if this guy gets elected, it's all going to be bad. And the other one says, well, if your guy gets elected, it's all going to be bad. And they're all afraid, and people panic. There's a man who's a famous investor named Warren Buffett. Probably everybody, most people here have heard of Warren Buffett. By the way, if you go trick-or-treating at Warren Buffett's house, you will get a 5-pound Hershey bar. I don't know if y'all knew that or not. That's what he gives out every Halloween, big old Hershey bars. Anyway, I only knew that because the Nope Committee told me that, Cindy. So, but he said, don't panic. People who panic get destroyed. That's one of his famous quotes. I thought about that. People who panic do get destroyed. If you ever see somebody struggling out in the water and you want to go help them, but if they're panicking, you're afraid they're going to drown you too. I stay away from people who panic. There is a valuable learning lesson to be learned in this song of waiting on an answer, putting your plea out there to God and waiting on the answer to come without panicking, without worrying or fretting over it. Jesus said to consider the lilies. They don't toil nor spin. And Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed as one of these. Is that how he said that? Something similar? And I've heard unbelievers try to say, well, look at the teachings of Jesus. He told you not even to prepare for, you know, put any, you know, or... And I don't think that's what he's saying there, not to be and make preparations in life and saving and having insurance and all those things. But I think what I gather out of it is there's a lot of things we cannot control in this life. And I think most people, well, it's a proven fact that the biggest fear is a perceived loss of control. So people perceive, but they don't realize they don't have control anyway. But somehow they perceive they've lost control, or they're going to lose control. But the reason that the lilies of the field were assured that the sun was going to rise the next day, and there would be sufficient rain, and there would be sufficient nutrient in the soil for it to get everything it need to blossom. One thing, whether I wake up or not in the morning, one thing will be assured. This sun will rise in the morning, and there will be air to breathe. I will, and that's about all I can control. Now, I could take a little further. If I have a job, I can go to it and work. A lot of people freak out about their job, too. They worry about this, and they worry about that, and they only have one thing that they can control, and they don't even focus on what they can control. But you got to focus on what you can control, which is very little. And then you leave the rest up to God. We sang the first song. The band song was, "He's in control. He's still on the throne." He set this course of nature in motion. And not only will the sun rise tomorrow and there'll be air to breathe, I'm not going to float off the planet. Well, there will be gravity. There will be sufficient everything that I need. I think I will have. The promises is the never seen the righteous forsaken, neither is seed begging for bread. I can have a positive attitude. I can smile. Everybody, you know, we got the Arkansas Razorback coach got a national attention for his smile comment. But the truth of the matter is, it's just a football game. That's all it is. It's just a game, and everybody's upset, and the world, I mean, come on. It's just a game, you know. I used to when I was younger, I'd get upset, and my wife was probably yelling, not yelling, she's probably getting tickled at me Sunday, because when I got home, the Cowboys were in a close one. They were in a close game, and they could have missed a pass for a two-point conversion, and I hollered. And then they missed the field goal, and I was, no, they missed it. She could tell that I was really just being exuberant. I wasn't mad about it. I was just being exuberant. Excited, you know, that they were close to winning. And whether it's about the Cowboys or whatever, it doesn't matter. Just use an example. But I can control my attitudes, what I'm saying, and I can walk into some place and be the light, be the example, be the person that walks in with a smile and when that holds the door for the next person and says, "How's your day going? Has it been a great day for you?" I was in a coffee shop the other morning, and there's a guy comes. I really never talked to this guy. But he come in, I said, "Tell me the best thing that happened to you this week and I'll buy your coffee." I don't even know why I said it. He said, he took him a minute. I don't remember what he said. But he said something positive. And I said, "Put it on my tab, Sam." That's the guy's name, works there. Is that Sam? "Put it on my tab, Sam." He goes, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yeah. That was the deal. You covered the deal. Coffee's on me." We could walk around with a gloom on our face and worry about who's going to be elected and who won the debate. Woe is me. Have you ever talked to people that's, "Woe is me"? There's some people I refuse to ask, "How's it going?" I refuse to ask the question. I do not want to know how it's going with them, because it's never good. I just like to say, "Hey, it's good to see you." or tell me something good that happened, or God bless you. But I don't want to hear. I'm going to put a caveat to that. If you're always exuberant and you're always positive, and you have a serious crisis in your life, you've had a loss in the family, you're having serious health issues where you may be having surgery or something like that, or you may have just lost your job and you want to share that with me, that's fine. I want to pray for you. I'm your brother. I want to lift you up. But, man, there's some people, it's every time. In my office, there's a phone ring, and I see that caller ID come up. I'm like, oh, I just get on the phone and start calling somebody else before the secretary puts them through to me. Because I don't want to talk to them. They have nothing good to say. It's always bad. I'll call them back. I'll need to charge my batteries up first before I call them, because I got to get ready for this, because it's going to be a drain. It's going to drain them down. They told me one time when I got my phone, they said, you need to put the reason battery life gets drained on your phone is you get too many apps running. So you need to put an app killer. So I put this app killer on there. And that thing was really a bug that kept your apps running. And I found that. So I walked in. I said, man, my battery's going dead all the time. They looked at it. Well, the first thing you knew is get rid of this app killer, because it's draining the life out of your phone. I said, I was supposed to save the battery on my phone. It does the opposite. Brother Paul got a Droid phone. He said, Brother Mike, he said, you're going to have to help me with this, because I don't know nothing about these things. I said, well, the first thing you need to do is we've got to get rid of this app killer. He said, but they told me I needed that. I said, they told me I needed it too. But I found out it's going to drain the life out of your battery. So that's the first thing we did. We got rid of that app killer. And I showed him how to send an email and how to send a text and how to download a Bible program and all that for his phone. But I don't want app killers around me draining my batteries down. And I don't want to be an app killer. I don't want to be somebody that just drains you down every time you talk. Oh, woe is me. The world's coming to an end. Or my life is coming to an end. I've got all these problems. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I think I'll eat a worm. There's the rain. Finally, the weatherman wasn't lying. He told us it was going to rain. But Jesus said we are to be a light on a hill for the whole city to see. The whole world. We're to be the salt of the earth. People ought to see us coming and say, oh, I was going to leave, but I'm going to wait just a minute and see what he's got to say today. See what we got, some good news. Somebody even when I'm down, I can be positive, someone told me. So, man, you always have a silver lining. Well, I'm not always that way. Ask my wife. I'm not always that way. But there used to be a comedy skit that I used to watch, and it was so funny. It was about this person called Debbie Downer, and no matter what anybody said, she had a remark that was just a total, brought it down, And one time, I met this lady I went through training with, and she was it was almost like she was a comedy plant from the show, because I was talking about, I said, we were just hanging out between classes, between a break, and I was telling somebody, I said, you know, it's been nice living next to my mom and dad. We lived next to my mom and dad with my kids growing up, and they could go up the hill and see them, and all of a sudden she just kind of sidled up next to me, you know, I'm telling the story, and I said, me and my wife wanted to go out. My mom always just volunteered to watch them, and she goes, my mom got killed by a water truck, rolled onto her. I had to live with my grandma. And I'm like, where did that come from? You know, I said, you know, I didn't have any brothers. I didn't have any brothers or sisters. I was the only child growing up. My sister ran away when she was 15, and when I was 15, I ran away too and lived with her. I'm like, are you kidding me? Can I not say anything? And it was like that the whole time I was around her. Everything I said, she had a story that related, but it wasn't good. So we would see her coming. We had no place to hide. We wanted to hide, but we had no place to go. And the lady who roomed with her, she stayed in the hotel lobby till the lounge area closed. And then she would help them clean up and waited till they went home so she could sneak in there and go to bed without her saying anything. Yeah, she said the first morning she opened the drapes and said, "Morning, sunshine." And the lady goes, "I'm allergic to sunshine." True story. I said, "Hey, what time did you go to bed? You look awful tired." She says, "Oh, I didn't go to bed at 1:30. I said, "I couldn't go up there with that woman." No way. So the next time I went to St. Louis, I said, has Diane Wells checked in yet? And she goes, "No, she hadn't checked in." Well, this other girl had already quit. I said, "When she comes up here, you tell her," I said, "I know who she's rooming with, but you tell her that she's rooming with Candace." I said, "Please play along with this for me." I said, "You wait till you see her reaction." So she comes up, "Hi, I'm Diane Wells," and she goes, "Okay." And so I'm standing over there just watching. She goes, "Okay." And this girl was so good. I should have bought her something, or, you know, Coca-Cola or something. She said, "You'll be rooming with Candace tonight." She goes, "No, no, you don't understand. I'm supposed to be rooming with somebody." And she turned and looked at me. And she see me grinning. She goes, "Oh, you put her up to this." Don't panic. If you're going through something tonight, don't panic. Wait on the Lord. Wait on God. Wait for the answer. It will come. It will get better. Brett, what does your mom always say? You ever said your mom would always say, This too shall pass. My mom always says, "There's always light at the end of the tunnel." Some, our good mamas, they always have the right words for us. So I just wanted to also welcome our everybody here. Now we had good to have Sister Julie here. She hadn't been here in a little bit, I don't think. I'm missing you. We got Brother Wallace back there. Good to see Brother Wallace. We got Brother Arthur Vaughn here tonight. Still coming. And appreciate him, his efforts on being here. I know we've got a lot of people out tonight. Different ones are sick. Brother Paul's working. Sister Durham's sick. Brother Henry's back, got back trouble. But who else did you say was sick in this? Oh, the Oates. Brother Oates is sick. Brother Sister McGowan. They've been sick for some time. Yeah, Sister Crow's still in a lot of pain. And they don't like to drive in this weather. It's hard on them. Seeing and drive. Sister Wilkins needs our prayers. Fred and Lynette are working the fair. Sister Sherry's home. Sister Elsie. Yeah. Brother Randy's got congestive heart failure. Keep him in your prayers. Pray for him now. Brother Phil? No. Sister Bryant called you, right? Okay. Yeah, Shane Keys, the fiddle player that came down here, he's in the hospital with staph infection and possibly meningitis. So he's not in good shape at all. I tried to call down there, but I wasn't successful. It's Midland Memorial Hospital is where he's at, so I may try to give that a call tomorrow. Check on him. All right, let's take these requests before the Lord. We'll see if our Wednesday night offering. Help this world. We may be alive in it. We may be example to others. We can just trust in you. To anyone that's sick here tonight. Sister Brian. Wilkins. Gowans. Sister Sherry. Brother Oates. Sister Durham. What's the meeting up in Massachusetts? Each one that's not here tonight that we didn't name, Lord, you know their name. You know what they have need of. We trust and believe in you that you will bless your children, oh God, and give them what they need. Hallelujah. Bless each and every one that gives. Amen. Thank you.
by trying to put your hand to the plow. I used to wonder about this because when they were talking about who was the other that tried to study the ark, and he was killed, and I thought, well, he was only trying to help. You know, that's my thinking. But you know, God doesn't need my help. He's in control all by himself without any help from me. I'll think, you know, that I can fix this. This would be better if I do, you know, move it over to the left a little bit. Well, God might want it over to the right. If I could learn to just release, you know, you think about carrying a burden, something that's so heavy, and you feel like you just can't make it, but you could have help if you just give it over to God. That's a whole lot easier said than done. When you think about it, sometimes you're going through something and you feel like you just can't make it, and you think, just turn it over to God. It's okay. He can handle it. And every now and then you think, no, don't touch that. Turn it over to God. He can handle it. But this old carnal nature, this man image, nature, just have the idea of wanting to try to do something about it. And I thank the Lord for being in control. I thank the Lord for, you know, Brother Mike was talking about the elections, and